Welcome to Momentum Magnet, a podcast to inspire your growth. I'm Karen Morales, and your host in helping you find ways to make positive changes for your business, health, relationships, and life. We always have a path to a happier ending, so let's get started today. Hi, and welcome to Momentum Magnet. Every Friday, we are here to discuss momentum strategies for your life and business. And today we're tackling one of the social media fan favorites, LinkedIn, and how you should be optimizing LinkedIn to get ahead in your business. Today, we're going to talk to LinkedIn expert Carly Martin, who will talk to us about how she helps service providers build their brands, generate leads, and be positioned as experts in their industries on the world's largest social media network for professionals. Even more excitingly, she lives on the island of Anne of Green Gables, which, if you haven't watched it, Anne with a Knee on Netflix was one of our quarantine favorites as a family in this house. Shockingly, Carly has not seen it, but we're not going to hold that against her as she has her marching orders for this weekend. After today's episode, I am sure you're going to be able to answer some of the world's most pressing questions on LinkedIn, which is, what about their algorithm matters to me as a marketer? What types of content appeal to the widest variety of audiences? How do you even go live on LinkedIn? And we're actually even going to take it a step further and answer a couple of questions about how this LinkedIn expert also became a TikTok influencer. So without further ado, welcome Carly. How are you?
I'm so great. Thank you so much for having me. I just have to laugh because TikTok influencer is a stretch, but it's a goal.
Hey, I think it's important to always talk about the opportunities to leverage different platforms, right? And while today's episode is really all about maximizing LinkedIn, we may be able to give people a couple of tangible suggestions on some of the emerging channels. But we are going to stay focused in what do I need to know as a business owner about maximizing my exposure on LinkedIn?
Excellent.
Perfect. So starting there, why don't you talk to us a little bit about your background and how you decided to focus a lot of your efforts around using this particular channel?
Well, I was shy to use Facebook, for example, or Instagram to market my business because I felt like all my family and friends were on those platforms. And I was embarrassed. I was just kind of shy to talk about my business. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to go over to LinkedIn. Nobody I know is over there. It's this little corner of the internet, and I'm going to set up shop there. And to my surprise, I found that I got a lot of traction really quickly, and it was a really nice place to be. It was a lot quieter than Facebook as far as, you know, marketing competition goes. And the culture on LinkedIn was really nice and friendly, I found in general. So I decided to stick around and dig in my heels.
Well, you're not alone in that sentiment. I know that business influencer Gary Vee often talks about the one channel that you're missing out if you're not playing on is LinkedIn. That poor organic reach, that is definitely a place to be. And I have found in growing my business that LinkedIn does tend to convert for me way more business opportunities than any other social media channel. It almost becomes, in my world, one step closer to a conversion. People may see my messages and read my emails and visit my website, but my name pops up at the right time and place on LinkedIn. And I usually then get an email to be like, hey, I've been meaning to reach out. I have a project you might be interested in, which has been pretty beautiful. Yeah. So starting at the top, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think are the most important things for people to know about utilizing LinkedIn to bring more momentum to their business?
I think the top most important thing to know is what an opportunity is there for you on LinkedIn. Still, there's so many networks, say Facebook, for example, is a great example, where if you decided right now you wanted to go and set up your business on Facebook, you have so many barriers. It takes a lot of work, and not to say that there's no work to set up on LinkedIn, but it's just so much easier to get a name for yourself there and build a network for yourself on LinkedIn. There's so much less competition. The opportunity is still there, even though the platform has been around for a while. It still feels like early days.
Beautiful. And is that sort of urban legend? I won't know if it's an urban legend, but is that sentiment correct that right now your best ability to get organic reach across the social media networks is really on LinkedIn?
It really is. And I know, speaking of Gary Vee, that he says that, you know, the organic reach on LinkedIn is similar to Facebook's years ago. And I remember I had a business about a decade ago or so doing interior decorating, and we set up a Facebook page, and every time I posted, everybody would see it, and it was so nice and lovely, and I got really used to that, but it's definitely not like that now. But on LinkedIn, you can post something and it's circulating for days or weeks, and it reaches so much more of your network than on Facebook. So it's really such an opportunity. If you're going to be on the network and create content, you have such an opportunity to leverage the platform to build your brand.
Well, that's beautiful. So if you are a business or a thought leader looking to get more involved with starting out on LinkedIn, what do you think is the most important part of the equation? Is it optimizing your profile? Is it posting consistently? Or is it engaging with other people's content?
You really need all those pieces working together. If you are on the platform very much and you get a spammy sales message, for example, somebody who's not taking the time to build relationships, you know firsthand how icky it feels and how ineffective it is. If someone is posting content, but they're never, you know, trying to move their connections offline to book a call, for example, you're only going to get so far. And if you have a profile that is not optimized, meaning you get so much real estate on LinkedIn for free on your profile, that's essentially, it's like walking through a sales page or a really great website, for example. So if you don't take the time to fill out all of those sections and make them speak to your ideal clients, then someone might not even know that you're open for business if they took a look at it. They might wonder if you are an expert. It just gives, if you have a ghost town kind of feel with your profile, it's not going to do you any favors. And if you manage with content or messaging to get someone interested enough to go check out your profile and it falls flat, then, you know, that's the end of the line. So you really need all those pieces working together.
That's important. So the first step may be starting to optimize your existing profile. Now, I know you talk about a lot of key elements here, a great picture, making sure you have an action-oriented header, making sure the descriptions and even the recommendations are all in there. Can you give people maybe an outline of a few things they should go check today in their LinkedIn profile?
For sure. One of the most important things is a combination of your picture, your profile picture, and your headline. And the reason those two things are so important is because they follow you around the entire website. So every time you post something, like something, comment on something, or pop into somebody's inbox, they're going to be able to see your picture, and they're going to be able to see your name and your headline. So that's a real opportunity to, it with a quick snapshot, portray a professional image. And that doesn't have to mean, you know, suit and tie or corporate. corporate, but professional and clear. They can see your face. And then also deliver some value through your headline. So you say immediately to them, hey, I can help you. This is how, and this is the pain that I can solve for you. So as opposed to a lot of people say, Carly Martin, owner, Hawthorne House Media. Wonderful. Except for that, nobody is going to know who I serve, how I help, or what my company is. So if you take a little bit of extra time to brainstorm, okay, how can I throw in here what I do? Or if I have, you know, some secret sauce, what that is, a pain that I alleviate, who my target market is, then you get that opportunity when you're in front of them for your ideal client to say, hey, she can help me. I want to learn more. So that is definitely the first stop, clear picture and value-based headline.
That's great. So everybody can go take a peek at their LinkedIn profile right now and make sure they have that pretty, that you know, attractive picture and the great action-oriented headline. How much mm-hmm. these days do recommendations matter? Because I remember almost 10 years ago when LinkedIn was, you know, at an inception phase, that I would constantly get requests for recommendations. It was quite the thing of the moment. I don't feel like that happens as much today. So how much do they matter? And if you don't have very many because your profile is older, do you need to go out and seek them?
That's a great question, because I feel like I never get asked to do a recommendation unless it's, you know, a genuine ask from someone that I would be happy to do it for. But the funny thing about recommendations is that it's buried so far down on your profile that you could easily think it's not important. But if you go back to the concept of thinking of your LinkedIn profile as a sales page or a website, that's really going to do a lot of heavy lifting for you if you've optimized it, then you can see how important the recommendations are. Because if somebody's interested enough in you to go to your profile and they're interested enough to keep reading down to your recommendation section, then those recommendations can really seal the deal. And I don't know about you, but when I'm thinking about signing up for a course or buying a product, those recommendations, testimonials, when a client or a customer gives a thumbs up about something, that very often cinches the deal for me. So I think recommendations are vital.
That's important. And I think that may be something a lot of us overlook. I know that testimonials are always part of my sales process with prospective clients, but it's not something I've spent a lot of time thinking about on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
It's almost like that ship sailed. Yeah.
Yeah. The beauty of LinkedIn is, of all the other networks, is that it has a really high trust factor. So that might be why when you post something on LinkedIn or you spend a little bit of time on there, you get someone saying, oh, I've been meaning to reach out to you, because you have built into LinkedIn this culture of, I'm delivering value as a professional. You're here to get value and to share your value as well. And we're professionals and so on. So, you know, having that recommendation there is just that little bit extra that really solidifies that you're the pro.
That's great. That is definitely something I will put into practice and make sure that is more reflected on my updated profile. So the next piece we talked about is really content. Mm. Understanding that, you know, LinkedIn is such a viable source to get your message out to a lot of people and highly relevant and targeted people, probably way more so than Facebook, especially for someone focusing on a professional service. So what are some of your ideas on how people should be approaching content for LinkedIn?
Well, the number one thing about LinkedIn that is so powerful is the fact that, you know, although it feels more quiet than other platforms, it's still very active. There are almost 700 million monthly active users. But, and here's the thing that gets me really excited about LinkedIn and makes it worth my while to show up there and create content, is the fact that of that 700 million, less than 1% are creating publishing content. So if you are one of that 1%, you have such an opportunity to have the floor. You are getting in front of so many people who are there just to consume, to get value, to learn, to network, and you have the floor. It's a huge opportunity. So one of the, that's why it's as important as optimizing your profile or, you know, messaging, having a messaging strategy. When you have content that touches on a full spectrum of you as a person, your professionalism, your expertise, and so on, then you are really taking the opportunity to build your brand, position yourself as the leader, all with your content strategy.
That's important. So if somebody listening actually does create weekly or monthly content, let's say in this case, it's blog content, so written content that is housed on their website. Mm-hmm. What is the best approach to posting that? Is it to actually redact the message and post it in the actual post field itself, or to create a link to your website or blog where that content lives with a small message like you do on Facebook?
I think it depends on your strategy. If your goal is to drive traffic to your website, then a little teaser of your blog with the link in the comments directing people to your blog is probably your best bet. Maybe you want to take snippets of the blog posts and create content from there. Maybe you want to take your old blog posts and update them a little bit and publish them as articles. Maybe you want to make a graphic with a quote from your blog post and post that, or put it in your featured section on your profile. There's a lot of opportunities to take your content and make it work for you in a lot of different ways on LinkedIn that I think is what part of what makes a content strategy on LinkedIn really special. It's so malleable to what your goals are.
That's great. That's very interesting. I think that brings up another question that somebody asked as we were preparing for this episode, and it's really around the balance between you posting as Carly Martin or you posting on behalf of your agency. Mm-hmm. So people were talking a lot about, you know, what is the best practice there? Do I post as myself? Do I post as myself in my business? Do each of them have to have organic proprietary content for it to make sense? Do you have any best practices there?
The way I do it and the way that I recommend doing it is that if you are the face of your business, if you are a solopreneur, a service provider, and it's mostly you, and you might have some team members, but you know, as far as the world knows, it's you, then I would stick to your personal profile. The personal profiles get so much more juice behind them than the business profiles. So that's a big consideration. People want to relate and connect with people. But if you work for a bigger business with a bigger team, then having a business page on LinkedIn can act as your hub. So your business page is there. You're going to share content from there about promotions you have, for example, or team members and so on. And then the individuals who make up the team can go with their personal profiles and they can build on that. They can share that content, of course, to their personal profile and their connections, but they can also have their own goals. So maybe I'm the VP of Coca-Cola and I want to target, I don't know, whoever at a distribution level, for example, I don't know. So I'm going to create content that speaks to them. I'm going to connect with people who meet that target market. And I'm going to use the company hub content as a way of backing up what I do. And then somebody else in another department is going to have a slightly different goal. We're all representing the same brand. And we have the same kind of value and content that we're sharing, but it's being directed to a different person and being tweaked to meet that goal. Does that make sense?
Yes. My background is really in Fortune 500 marketing and advertising. And as an executive prior to my own agency, I've done this for many multinationals. And now in my agency Marketing Magnet, we just did this for a large medical insurance company where we provided a repertoire of about 20 articles plus recommended language that we gave to 200 influencers in the organization on a weekly basis, and they could choose what they wanted to share. Our engagement rates were north of 15%. We had new hires, contracts, increased sentiment around some of our targeted influencers that circle our space. So it was a really, really successful program. And it helped open a lot of doors for the enterprise sales team in just what I said at the beginning of the episode, that some of those sales leaders found that they got proactive inbound calls just based on being active and talking about things that mattered to their audience. So I've seen it work for Fortune 500s exceedingly well. And I feel like it really should be part of every enterprise sales strategy.
Wow, I love that. That is so exciting. Yes, that's perfect. And that you can see then all the pieces working together to really get some momentum happening. If it's just you, you're just kind of splitting the difference. But when you have that many people behind it, it's so powerful.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I don't know if how much, we didn't talk about this before, so I'm throwing a new question on you. But there was a tool that LinkedIn used to offer to the Fortune 500s, the large organizations. And it was a tool that enabled this easier sharing. It was called LinkedIn Elevate. And they announced earlier this year they would be going to be retiring that platform because it really was a dissemination tool to publish other publishers' content. As part of that strategy, they told us in some enterprise sales meetings that they were looking to become more of a publisher themselves versus just a syndicator of other people's, writing or proprietary information. I don't know if that trend has made it down to kind of the more personal market yet in what their vision is for this becoming a publishing giant.
I love that. It plays with, you know, how the algorithm works for just, you know, the everyday person on LinkedIn, those and the personal profiles, that I feel like if you have a link in your profile post, for example, it doesn't quite have the reach that it used to, whereas before maybe they were just trying to get all hands on deck or whoever wanted to show up, they were being very favorable with their algorithm. But yeah, it does seem to be tightening up a little bit, wanting to keep you on LinkedIn and publishing on LinkedIn with original content and sharing other content, but within LinkedIn, from LinkedIn.
Oh, that's interesting. I have seen a difference when I've shared a few articles lately of sometimes the header graphics don't come through, or it feels like it won't accept my link, especially if I'm, you know, Googling an article that I had read earlier and trying to post it. I have to make sure I find the real source link before posting the Google one, or it won't accept it. But that's interesting on publishing on LinkedIn itself. Can you talk a little bit about the availability to maybe write a blog article and publish it within the LinkedIn platform itself?
Yeah, I love the idea of going back to the idea that your profile is like your website or sales page. It has everything that you need to move your prospects down your, you know, path to purchase. And publishing an article is one way to think of it. You could think of it as another arm of your content strategy. If you like publishing long form content, or if you have a bank of long form content, it works perfectly for you. If you don't, and that's not really your thing, then you could think about writing, you know, three articles, say, for example, that are kind of tell your prospects, you know, this is who I am, this is how I do business, this is what I have done, just as kind of foundational blog posts that give people a fuller picture of you as a business, similar to if you went to visit someone's website and they have a blog section.
Oh, that's interesting. And is that easily accessible? So you publish that within LinkedIn itself. There is a content publishing feature.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I see what you're saying. Yeah, and it's very user-friendly, I find. LinkedIn can be a little glitchy sometimes, like what you mentioned, but I feel like, you know, with this latest update that they have, they're getting better and it's evolving always. And but now is the time to jump on there because, you know, we don't want it to turn into Facebook now with its small reach and pay to play kind of environment. So right now it's still, things are evolving, but it's still pretty user friendly and a good time to jump in there.
What about video? I keep hearing about video on LinkedIn. What are your best practices there?
Video is another amazing opportunity. As I said earlier, only 1% of the people who show up on LinkedIn are actually publishing content. And of that 1%, it's a much, much smaller number who are actually utilizing video. So it can be really powerful. And that's actually how I got hooked on the platform. I created a simple series where I would go post a video every Friday and call it LinkedIn Happy Hour for all of us who didn't have an office crew to go to happy hour with. So it was just a simple concept. I did it every week for a quarter, I think. And the difference that it made in my business was so interesting to me. So I think video is something that is untapped still, and you can really stand out when you use it. You have to apply to go live though. So it's not quite as easy as jumping onto a video on Facebook, for example, but you can create a video 10 minutes or less, upload it to the platform and watch your engagement and your reach climb.
Well, that's interesting. Talk to us a little bit about what that impact was for your business. So specifically after going live, or not going live, after posting a video every Friday for a quarter, what happened?
Well, I had people reaching out to me to work with me, and which is the goal. So that's excellent. But then even, you know, smaller things like being at a networking event back when we could actually do that, and having people say, oh, I see you on LinkedIn, or oh, you're the LinkedIn person. I just found that I got traction so fast. If I started posting a video a week on Facebook, there's no way people would be stopping me to comment on the fact that I'm the Facebook person. There's just absolutely no way. So to me, it just showed me how untapped LinkedIn was and what the potential was for people locally and then internationally too, getting clients that are out of your circle.
And how does that work in terms of reach? So on Facebook, your views are determinate, unless it's a paid play, based on how many friends or followers you have. So in the LinkedIn space, is it what really drives that reach? Is it how big your friends list is or how good your tags are so that the content becomes discoverable?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, you have to have an engaged connection or network, but you can get a lot of reach without having a lot of followers. So I think it just comes down to the platform prioritizing good content that's going to resonate and keep their users on their platform. And so with, you know, the introduction of hashtags, for example, there's, you know, more opportunity to reach people and get your content pushed out even further. So I'd say it's a combination of the two.
Okay. So everyone's favorite question, which we usually talk more about on Instagram, but what is your happy medium of how many hashtags is right?
I go with 3. I go with 3, one that's talking about generally what the topic is of the post, who I'm talking to, and then maybe a branded one if that makes sense for the client, or, you know, something about their business or industry.
That's great. So another question that spawns off of the Facebook competitive set is, what happens when you get, I don't know, dozens of inbound requests a day to connect and friend someone. But the idea with most of these people following up with you on LinkedIn is that they're probably salespeople that found you in Sales Navigator. So I never know the right happy balance on that of accepting people who I truly haven't worked with before to grow my reach and my audience, or not accepting those thinly veiled sales outreach.
Well, and the good news about those thinly veiled outreach attempts is that they make themselves known really quickly. So you can always go back and remove the connection if you want to. But I hear what you're saying. For me, I think, and for clients when I'm managing their accounts, is does this person look like we can do business? Is this somebody that makes sense to connect with? So if, for example, you do in-person workshops locally, it doesn't make sense for you to connect with somebody in the Netherlands. If so, feel free to ignore. And then if you really want to get strategic about it, and why shouldn't you? You don't need to accept requests from people that aren't your ideal clients, or aren't somebody in your industry that you want to network with. Basically, if you don't think that it makes sense for your business and your goals on the platform, don't bother.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I always find it to be interesting. There is a lot of outreach that is around the vein of, you sound like an amazing person in your space and I'd love to connect. You feel like the type of person I need to meet. What do you tell your clients who are actually using LinkedIn as a prospecting tool? What do they say to make that introduction? Is that the best practice language, or is that off of Carly's recommended list?
I definitely think you should, and this is a very controversial LinkedIn topic, I think that you should definitely send an invitation with your connection request. That is very rare, so you're going to stand out for sure. So if you send a little message and it is not spammy and it's friendly, then I think that's great. It's going to increase your chances of the connection request being accepted. And if it's a really great message, then it's going to increase the chances of the person that you're requesting to connect with replying to you, and you can start that conversation. So, being on the receiving end of those messages, you know what they're trying to do. But if it doesn't make sense for you to build a relationship with them, then you don't have to. But if you're curious, you could always say, "Hey, just wondering what you think about me. So fabulous. Please tell me more," and get the conversation going, and, you know, kind of get them out of their, what's the expression? I'm bringing in animal expressions now.
There's no bot responses available to LinkedIn in message responses, are there? Can you create like templated responses so that you don't have to go through, you know, 10 to 20 of these requests a day?
Well, LinkedIn gives you some prompts, but no, I don't, unless you're going to get into a third-party software, no. But I don't recommend that because it's against their terms of use, and that can get you banned, and then all your hard work will be for naught.
And we don't want that. So no. The lesson of the story there is you need to monitor your own LinkedIn inbox or pay a professional to do so.
Absolutely.
So the other two things we've gone through is when you're looking at your profile, it really matters that you're optimizing it by having great pictures, by utilizing the real estate, and really answering the question of what problem do you solve for your prospective consumers? Mm-hmm. Or if you are employed by a large organization and you want to keep your job prospects open, what is your kind of role in this world, and what does your dream job look like, would be another way to frame it if you're not a business owner.
Exactly.
So engagement really matters, and it is driven by how big your following list is and how you're publishing, hopefully, proprietary content, because they definitely lean towards that a little bit more. So those are all helpful tips. And if you've done all of those actions, and now you're really looking to use LinkedIn as a sales generating engine, what's the next set of actions that you should be taking?
if you really want to maximize what you can gain from the platform, then you have to be, you have to show up every day, and you have to have a messaging strategy. And an asset that would be very helpful are lead magnets or something of value that you can give to your network, and you can use to drive traffic to your email list, which is, you know, as we know, a super important asset for your business because, you know, nice algorithm or not, at the end of the day, you don't own that traffic, but you own your email list. So using a strategy to get people to move to a phone call or to whatever it is you want them to do, go to your website, download your PDF and get in your email list. Those strategies take a little bit more time and consistency. And but that's where the rubber meets the road.
Are there any ways to gate your contact, your content and collect an email address without leaving LinkedIn platform itself? Like a plugin that you can say, like, here, give me your email address and here's my PDF, or do you have to bring them to your own website?
Ooh, that's a great question. That would be super handy. I don't know of a tool that does that, that would not be potentially getting you banned, but I'll have to look into that because that would be really great.
I know on the B2B enterprise side, there are, you know, paid advertising tactics that enable you, like a LinkedIn lead form, but that's all on the paid advertising side. And I've only done that for, you know, large companies with $1 million budgets. Mm-hmm. But it would be interesting if you could keep people in the platform and collect email address.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. And LinkedIn would surely love that too.
Hey, LinkedIn, that's an idea for you. It's a business opportunity. Carly and Karen will take full credit for it. be sure to give us the commissions.
Yes, please.
Please. So LinkedIn Live, applying for being able to go live on the platform, is that something that you do? And how hard is it to get approved?
It's very easy to apply. It takes only a few minutes. And I don't see the rhyme or reason behind their acceptance, except for that if you are going to show up on LinkedIn with your meager availability of, you know, uploading your own video, if you do that consistently, then they're going to, and you're building your connections, you're producing content, keeping people on the platform, it's going to increase your chances of getting accepted. But you have to apply, and they want to see that you are going to use it. I think they really just want to build their influencer base, their LinkedIn people that are going to be brand reps for them. So they want to know that if you get the capability of going live, that you're going to use it and deliver value.
Perfect. Do you see better reach with the algorithm based on written content, images, or video?
I see video as the top, images next, and then text, just text. I've read, you know, people disagree. Sometimes I read that they think it's, you know, just text, for example, is the best. But I find that similar to any social media network, you want people to, you want to catch their attention and get them to stop so they can take a look at your content. So for me, it's visual first, video, and then a nice graphic or so, or picture.
What do you use to track LinkedIn engagement and content relevancy? Do you use any third-party tools as your analytics engine to analyze a client's profile and content strategy?
We take the analytics from the posts, and we meet with clients weekly about that. So here's your analytics on the post. Here's how your reach has grown. Here's how many people have been looking at your profile. Here's how many messages we're sending out. Here's the response rate and the acceptance rate. And here's how many people have moved to your next step in your funnel. So, and then comparing it as we go and making sure that it's going in the right direction, up and to the right. So that's what we do. We could probably be more efficient with some sort of software, but, I like to just be in there and see it all myself.
That's great. Can you give us a couple of case studies or examples from clients with as much or as little detail as possible to really understand what a program and a really focused effort on LinkedIn can do for someone's business?
Sure. Well, one client that we're working with right now is looking to get some venture deals going. Needed to set up a profile that reflected her business, which is a very successful business, but had zero, did not have any profile at all on LinkedIn. So we started with her profile, not a business profile, and started with nothing, no followers or connections, no content at all. And within the month, we're able to get her profile optimized and get her messaging going out, her connection requests, her content going, and she has started booking calls off the platform already. So it's not, and this is, you know, we're only a month in, and I think she has almost 500 followers at this point, but these are targeted connections that we're building. And, you know, with messages going out every day and follow-ups going out every day. So I think that's a good example to show people that you can start with nothing, no presence at all. You don't have to have millions of followers, and you can start to move the pin in your business quickly.
That really is amazing, because a sales program that can work that efficiently is, you know, it's hard to find. To see results in such a quick period of time is always pretty amazing. It was when I was working in large ad agencies and managing huge accounts, we used to tell clients that were trying to rebrand or launch a new advertising campaign that, you know, sometimes it could take 12 to 18 months to really move the needle in sentiment. But I think some of the most beautiful things with some of these more one-to-one tools is that you can see traction in a way that kind of the mass media landscape of 10 and 15 years ago never allowed you to do. Because you're making the connections. It's really amazing to see how fast some of these programs can actually give a return.
Well, for sure. And for, you know, a huge business or a Fortune 500 company, then they need the level of scale that they have to have in order to continue to grow is different from somebody who's, you know, a service provider, solopreneur, or has a very small team, or, you know, even a medium-sized team. The amount of prospects that you can handle is different. And so for those smaller sizes on LinkedIn, you can take the time to build those relationships. And we know that business moves at the speed of relationships. So you can scale it as you go. But to get started and really like figure out what resonates with people, what messaging do they respond to, what next step doesn't threaten them, but they feel comfortable doing it, all of those things, it's great information to gather and then use to scale.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Okay, so we've talked a lot about some of the top things you should be doing to optimize your performance on LinkedIn. But one place I always like to go with guests and to speak about a momentum magnet is really this idea of what should you not be doing? Because sometimes the best insights come from the things you should be avoiding.
There's one thing that people talk about on LinkedIn, like the most negative that I ever see people being on LinkedIn is when you happen upon a thread where people are talking about their experience getting spammy messages on their messaging inbox. Man, people hate that. But they're very tight-lipped about what it is that they do that they think works. So that would be the number one thing that I think will alienate you on LinkedIn from your potential clients is being spammy and salesy too fast, too soon in the inbox. Nobody likes that. But the thing is, everybody who's on LinkedIn is there because they know that there's an opportunity for them with their business and professionally. So if you go into people's inboxes and you just go right in for the kill, the thing is, you are going to get some low-hanging fruit. It's a great strategy if you need a super quick cash injection or you need some new business right away. But if you want to build a sustainable business that you can, you know, manage long-term, you don't want to burn through your network and you don't want to alienate yourself from these potential clients who just need some more touches. So definitely number one thing not to do is go right in for the kill in people's inboxes.
That's great. I just received a question from somebody in the audience that is one that I haven't heard, and I'm excited to ask this because I don't really know the answer to this one. The question was, is LinkedIn and content dissemination really only for service providers? What about people that sell a B2C product, a tangible thing? Can you still make traction using this platform?
You can. And I think that it's really well situated for, say, a service provider or professionals, not so much maybe e-commerce. But if you think about it this way, maybe you're not going to start posting about buy my branded water bottle or whatever your product is. But maybe you're going to be using your presence on LinkedIn as an opportunity to network and build connections with distributors or store owners marketing executives, who the decision makers who might influence your business in a positive way, but maybe not directly by purchasing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it is interesting too to think about it as a channel to reach out to potential investors and to connect in that way. Because on the B2C side, I see a lot of, we work with a lot of startups that have, you know, physical products and are looking to grow their network and often connect with VCs. So that's an interesting use case. And then being pretty targeted about the types of things you're posting and talking about that really relate to your potential as an investable company, one to invest in.
Yes.
Well, Carly, I really feel like I want to jump off this podcast and start optimizing my profile, which is always a sign of a great show. So if you want to leave three tips for people on the things that they could go do in the next 15 or 20 minutes or today, tomorrow, what would those three things be?
Optimize your profile. So first of all, do your headline. Create a post that introduces you or reintroduces you to your network. Tell them who you are and what you do and your favorite drink or dessert, something about you. And then go and send a recommendation to 10 people and ask for one in return.
Beautiful. That's great. So if somebody is listening and thinking like, wow, I'd really love to work with Carly, can you talk a little bit about what that looks like, who you work with, and how they could reach out?
Absolutely. Typically, I tend to work with service providers with smaller teams, and I do one of two things. I either create a strategy guidebook, which is essentially, you know, a plug and play system for you for LinkedIn that's tailored toward to your business and your voice and your audience. It gives you everything from the strategy to posts to content calendar and messaging templates. And then I also take the ball and run with it for clients and manage their accounts on a full-time basis. So creating the content and optimizing their profiles and showing up and engaging as them on a daily basis. So the best way to learn about what I do, and I have a ton of free offers and guidebooks and things that can help you get situated on LinkedIn, is on my website, hawthornhousemedia.com.
Perfect. Well, you were a wonderful guest. I think everybody has learned something about LinkedIn today. Oh, and I hope you have a great weekend. And I want to know that you watched In With an E, because you cannot live in that beautiful place and not see that Joe on Netflix.
I live, Anne. So yeah, I'm going to I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We're here every Friday on Momentum Magnet. I'm Karen Morales, owner and founder of Marketing Magnet, a boutique agency to solve your marketing problems. If you have a challenge in your business that you haven't been able to break through or need a team to do it for you, please go to our website at marketing-magnet.com and reach out. We love to do 30-minute consultations to hear about your challenge and talk about how we can help. We are here every Friday to talk about ways to make momentum in your life and business. Thank you for listening to Momentum Magnet. If you have time, please go to iTunes and or Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and leave a review. It helps us reach more people with our message. So have a great Friday and a wonderful weekend.
Thank you for listening to Momentum Magnet. We're here every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to share inspiring comeback stories. We want to hear your reviews and love getting your subscriptions on iTunes and Spotify. For show notes and past episodes, visit MomentumMagnet.com. I'm Karen Morales, keynote speaker, writer, and founder and CEO of Marketing Magnet, a fast-growing marketing agency for purpose-driven companies. Whether you are a business needing an agency, or if you are looking for weekly tips to get ahead, sign up at marketing-magnet.com to receive our weekly inspiration on getting more in your life and business.